I wanted to share something, and I didn't plan on sharing this, but as we were worshiping, the Lord was, he told me to share this. So a couple of things that happened just within the last 24 hours, and he said, this has something to do with what I want to do. So God said, share with everybody, and so I asked the Lord, I said, well, does it have something to do with the message that you already given me? He says, well, kind of, sort of, but I'll explain later. I'm serious. I'm like, okay, all right, thanks a lot, God, for that one. In other words, just obey me and do what I say to do. It's like, all right. Yesterday, and there's something it's interesting how this kind of thing happened. I'll tell you what the Lord said to say first, and I'll tell you a couple of incidences that happened. The Lord wants to restore that which was stolen, and he wants to find and help us find that which is lost. And he wants to use us to do it, each other to do it. So here's what has happened, and I'm going to share this with you. Yesterday, as I was, and I know these stories as I share about like my dealings with people and stuff and furniture and life and ministry, as I share these are my experiences that I feel like the Lord is allowing me to go through to help us to share. I know each and every one of us has other experiences with the Lord as you listen to God. And so I know that if you feel inclined to ever like, hey, I want to share something that God is doing, please, this is an open forum. Right now I've got the mic and I've got the floor. But if you do want to, just give me your hand and I'll let you, I promise, within reason. Yesterday, I backed up my truck and we were sitting there talking. I was talking with Kevin, and all of a sudden he just very inadvertently, almost even rudely, just stops talking to me. And he goes over and he, in one of these dressers, he pulls out a drawer. And I'm serious, he does this weird thing. He pulls his drawer out and then he looks inside. There's nothing in there. And then he pulls the whole drawer out and he looks inside, reaches in, and he grabs a wallet. And I'm like, What the heck is he doing? He goes, I can't believe this. And he's like, you got to sit down. So let's sit down. Because he said, I got to tell you this. This is exactly what happened. As this person dropped off this dresser, God told me to look in that drawer. And I didn't do it because he got, going in other things. So God told me to look in that drawer. And I didn't do it. But then as I'm sitting here talking to you, God reminded me again to look in that drawer. So I was rudely interrupted by God telling him to do something. That could be a side note. Maybe something to consider when you're rudely interrupted by somebody. Maybe you've been usurped, by a higher authority. One up. Don't get too upset or angry or full of yourself, Eric. Oh, so here's what ends up happening. So we look at the wallet, and it has a guy's driver's license, a credit card, and I think I didn't look at, I could tell there was money in it, but I didn't look how much was in it, but Kevin was, I got out Kevin just a little bit. He's like, look, and he pulls out the money, and I don't know, it was like 30 or 40 bucks or something. We didn't really count it, but we just put it right back in. I said, you know what? I looked at the address. I said, I actually have to run on a pickup in that vicinity, and it was Sun City, Roseville. So I said, I'm gonna just trust that we'll get it back. And I said, okay, I'm going, because there's no phone number or nothing on this thing. So I just drove right to where it was. I knew exactly where it was. Sure enough, I knock on the door, and there was the elderly gentleman and his wife. She just pulled him out of Lincoln Meadows, or what's it called now? A different name. Gladding Ridge. She just pulled him out of there, and he was, he'd had some surgery, and they just brought him home, and we started talking. The first thing I did is, they answered the door, and I said, is such and such home? And she goes, yeah, he's right in here. And so I said, can I come in? I said, I want to barge in on you guys for a second. And the first thing I said, do you guys believe in God? And they said, well, actually, yeah. I said, good, because I'm telling you, God is alive and speaking, because this is exactly what happened, and I shared the whole story, and it was so much fun, and it was real exciting. He actually turned the basketball game off to listen to this story, and it was really, really good. And it was an amazing thing, and the guy just sat there just amazed at, like, wow, here's my wallet. It had fell behind the drawer, underneath the drawer. So that's why Kevin pulled it out, and it was underneath the drawer behind it. And then they donated some of the furniture. They emptied all the drawers, and obviously they didn't pull the drawers out. And it was so, it was just really an exciting thing. And I thought, and I just drove away, and I thought, that was good. I was like, yeah, that was good. And that was it. That was it. You know, that was totally it. That was it. There's more to this story, though. Because then this morning I get up, and this is why, remember what I said that God wants to do. What does God want to do? Restore that which is stolen and that which is lost. And he wants to use us to do it. Just listen to that and receive that as a word from the Lord today. He wants to use you. But he wants to use us even together. He wants us to use us in unity. He wants to use us even in our failings, our faults, our issues. He still wants to use you to restore that which is lost and stolen. Hello? Okay, you just have to be willing. You don't have to have any superpowers or capabilities that make you be able to do that. Just a willing heart and a willing spirit is all that he's asking for. Somebody that's willing to go the extra mile, get, you know, Kevin, obey the Lord, obey the Lord's voice, look where God told him to look, which is a really weird thing to do, and then hand it off to me, trust me to go off, and then me go off and take the next step and track that down and find that down and restore that which was lost. You guys see that? It really was just simple, obedient steps that God was using for each of us to participate into something that was lost. So then I get a call this morning at about 6 o'clock, right, exactly at 6 o'clock from Robin. She says, I just thought she just wanted to talk to me, but she didn't really want to talk to me. She wanted to tell me, she said that there is a, and I could share this, and it's not, it's, it said there was, Krista had gotten a notification on her phone that they're, because they had installed security cameras in their home, and when somebody, even a moth flies by or somebody walks by their house, it alerts their phone to somebody, there's activity. So Krista says, there's somebody walked into their backyard and walked off with their weed eater. It's like, oh man, this is 6 a.m. And then she said, but we can't get a hold of Blake. He's not answering his phone. So I don't know if he went out there and dealt with this situation or if what's going on. So I said, okay. You know, I'm at that point, I'm just about finishing studying up, and I said, okay, I'll just run over there and see if, you know, at first I'm thinking, oh no, something's going on with my son, and I'm like, uh-oh, and my two granddaughters, more importantly, are there without their dad. So I drive over there really fast, and as we're going, I'm going over there, I drive by and nothing's, no activity, nobody around. I drive around the block a couple times just seeing if I could spot anything or see anything. I'm thinking if I just wanted to, you know, scout the area real quick first. And so I get Krista back on the phone. I said, and then these two odd characters drive by, and it's like, okay, they come out of an alley and then they drive by, and I kind of stopped. I looked in my mirror, watched where they pulled in. I said, hey, Krista, called her back, said, what do they look like? You know, what are they wearing and what's going on? Or how to, because she could see that they had a hoodie on and writing. And anyway, she did. So I happened to pull in right where they, and these two guys get out of their car. And she's describing this guy that's standing about 20 feet away from me right at that point. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? So yeah, this is fun. This is fun. So I just like, okay. And I'm serious. I believe this is from the Lord, because I believe this is from the Lord. And you might want to say, Eric, you're stupid. That was a really stupid thing for you to do. And I look back and I say, that was a really stupid thing to do. But when the boldness and the courage of the Lord comes over, and I think this is the implication, and it's what I think he wants us to hear this morning even also, is that, you know, I just pulled right up on him and I said, hey, and I just confronted him. I said, hey, I got you on video, and look, there's my weed eater. Said, that's mine. You stole it. I'm going to take it back. And he's like, hey, no, hey, it wasn't me. It was just my, you know, it's like, no, okay, listen. I've got you on video, and that's my weed eater. said, you're just, and I called it for what it was. And I did not allow him to lie, even though he kept trying to lie. Finally, there's two of them. These are two guys, and they're kind of thug looking. Well, one of them looked like he's just straight out of prison. And I'm like, whoa, dude, but I didn't care. It's like, for some reason, I just didn't care. They both got out of the car, and I just walked right by them, right through them, picked up my weeder and put it in my car, and he said, I'm going to tell you, it said, we have cameras everywhere, and we see what you're doing. If you walk by that street again, if you walk by that house again, you will be seen. And there was something in that was like, one of the guys, just tell him you're sorry, dude. Just tell him you're sorry. And I'm like, yeah, just say you're sorry, man. Yeah, here I am in gym shorts. And I'm like, it's just like, yeah, right, it wasn't me. If my hair had the possibility of getting messed up, it was messed up. But the Lord said, and that's why I was like, okay, cool. So we, Blake made a police report and all that good stuff. And but here's what I believe that the Lord said this, and he said it very clearly. I want to restore that which is lost and stolen to my people. And I want to use my people. You know, that whole scenario wasn't just me. It wasn't just Blake. It wasn't just Kevin. There was this working together of connections being made to restore that which was lost and that which was stolen. There's courage involved. There's fearlessness involved. There's boldness involved. There's all that happened, just so simple acts of obedience to just go forward and walk and take the step instead of, oh no, be afraid. Oh no, because fear will just, all it does is disable us and actually even paralyze us to take steps and to take back which is not theirs and take back which actually belongs to you. If you can, forget about the weed eater and the wallet and now apply it to something in your life that God wants to restore that the enemy has stolen or you have just flat out lost due to your bad decisions.
It's not just a bad decision. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, said it, he's talking about even not just bad decisions, but even, and he brought up Elisha's axe head that had fallen and dropped, and God caused an axe head to float back to the surface, to bring it back to the person that had lost it, while he was busy doing something that was good. I believe that there's things happening in our life and in our community, in our system, in our world that, as you go forward and take steps of forward walking, even by faith, there's things that are going to happen that everything's not going to work out like grandiosis. That these incidences that I was involved in just within the last 24 hours, they all worked out. But they very well could have not worked out. Right? I mean, they very well could have not worked. Even the simple thing of the people at the house that I went to get, they could have just not been home. Or, the no soliciting thing just slammed the door in my face and said, get out of here, stranger. And I'd be like, oh, how do I deal with this now? So, but there's everything worked out. But it doesn't always work out. Sometimes we get the door slammed in our face. And sometimes, I could have easily, because I seriously walked right by these two guys with my back to them at this time, picked up the weed eater. I could have gotten conked in the head. I don't know. Anything could have happened. The guy even got back in his car and started fiddling around with something. I think he was hiding something, but I don't know. He could have picked up something. There's a lot of things that could have happened if I would have allowed fear. But so sometimes things are not going to always work out, but we still must go forward and walk by faith, not by sight. Not walk by faith and not by sight. So now I'm going to give you my message that the Lord has given me, and I think it's a fantastic one. It really is. But I think, receive that word, the good words from the Holy Spirit that are special, and are very poignant for the moment, are really good, really good. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And you guys know I've been dealing with this. I think every message is revolved around that. Did somebody have a hand up? Question? Oh, okay. So as we go forward with this, what that looks like is operating our lives by the instruments that God has given us that are valid, that are true, that are true. We operate by the true. Jesus is the true. Jesus is the true. So when we look into His Word, I talked about one of our key instruments is the Word of God. So I want us to discuss this for a moment, and just really just as kind of a discussion, an open conversation, if you will. in James chapter 1, it's an amazing piece of scripture. James chapter 1, starting in verse 16. And I'm going to digress in a couple little situations in it so as you look into it. Again, this is open discussion, so please feel free to have input. Starting in verse 16, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures," or his creation of his creatures. Let me discuss this. What is a kind of first fruits? That's an interesting statement. And I don't think we understand fully what that is. And the Lord is, because I asked the Lord and I looked up a bunch of things and I know a bunch of things about what that actually is. And the Lord told me this. He said, all the things that you know about what that is saying are good and true and right. That I have called you and created you to be a kind of first fruit. As believers in Christ, I have called you and created you and designed you to be a kind of first fruit. But everything that you know about that is good and true and right, but it's not everything that that means. In other words, you only know part of what that means. There's more to that than you can know right now. And I said, okay. All right. Yes, Kevin.
You took off after the wallet thing. Anyway, towards the end of the day, I'm thinking, because I got this Harley motor in my trailer, my old house, and I'm using it as a coffee table. And it's my last motor. Yeah, I put a top on it.
You put what on it?
A top on it, flat piece of wood. And I'm thinking to myself, here comes a guy yesterday wants to buy...
Hey, Matt's got pictures if you want to see. Yeah, you don't. Yeah. Go ahead.
Matt, he's got pictures of all of it.
Anyway,
I got this motor because Harley Davidson was my god for many years. Anyway, I got this last motor left. Well, I got this guy comes up to the church. He says, I want to buy it. He knows I had Harleys. I said, I got one more motor. I says, I want to get rid of my past because the Lord said, son, stay off the motorcycles. So I'm going to obey him. And I loved motorcycles. He says, I got $100. He tries to hand it to me. I says, no, you keep your money, and I'll get the motor, and I'll call you when I get it. And he comes by yesterday after you leave and says, hey, did you get the motor? I says, no, but I'll work on it. Well, I'm thinking I want to join a membership with the money. You know, I don't ride motorcycles anymore. I'll just go to the gym.
Oh, okay, that kind of membership. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, yeah. So, okay. So here comes some wreckage from my past towards the end of the day. My old landlord, where the motor is, says, hey, he says, you know, I can't, I says, hey, shut your truck up. I can't hear you. He shuts it off. He says, I just remembered I loaned you a motorcycle, Jack, to jack your Harley up, and now I've got a bearing out on my back wheel, and I don't have my jack. Well, guess what? The jack got stolen from me that didn't belong to me, so it's wreckage from my past. So now I gotta go buy the man a jack. It's wreckage from my past. I gotta fix it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I don't know how this all came about, but it's just the Lord did all that, you know, and I'm cool with it. I just, you know, so now me and Matt, I'm gonna go out there today, and I'm gonna tell the man I'll buy him a jack. Now, this man's not saved, but I'm hoping he'll see me with what I'm doing, and he'll say, wow. Because tweakers don't come back and pay stuff back. They just don't. So I'm hoping he'll see me, God living in me.
Amen.
That's it.
That's good. Thanks, Kevin, for sharing. First fruits. Because I do want to discuss this because even for a minute, and I appreciate Kevin sharing this, and I think it all is going to play into play for as far as where we're going to end up today. So if you track with me through this whole morning, I believe you'll end up in a good place. first fruits. I believe it has something to do with that very thing. The very term itself is that which God has designed to be the first fruit, the first crop, the first outline, the first outpouring of what God is doing. And he's used, and we're that. We are that. And I've read commentaries that say, well, it's the first apostles and this and that, and it's like, and then we're just the, I don't know what that would make us, second or third fruits, or maybe, I don't know, about 3 millionth fruit or something. But I don't see that scripturally fitting, that it's just the apostles, because it just doesn't fit. For one, this is James, who was not one of the apostles. James is Jesus' brother, so he's referring to himself and us as the first fruits. So then you'd have to say, well, then it's the apostolic fathers. And it's like, well, then it gets into, like, who's all that? And so I believe it's us as believers. Us as believers, and here's where the Lord said it's more than what you can even fathom right now. Us as believers in this realm, but it's for this realm, that, and this realm in this time frame, this age in which we live now, but we're the first fruits, and it's going to be of multiple ages and multiple time frames from here on out into eternity. Us as God's first fruits into eternity. It fits with the principle of reward, and it's awesome. That's a deep one. I'll go there another time. Yes, Kevin.
Amazing. A motorcycle jack just came in.
I mean, did it just like, did you see it on video or something, or you just were reminded, or is this part of the story you just forgot to say? Amen. I guess it's actually happening right in our midst, restoring the lost and that which is stolen. Holy, Jesus is good. Amen. So let me go on from there, because as the verse goes on, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Let me talk about what the word meekness is, and this receiving of meekness looks like. There's an obvious meaning in it, that there's a teachability, humility, a readiness to submit, if you will, to God's word. The opposite of receiving God's word, or receiving with meekness the implanted word, would be to receive it suspiciously. Receive it suspiciously because you doubt that it's all true, or maybe you question whether it's not good for you or relevant for you. So you instead you kind of hold it at bay, so you receive it suspiciously, or even partially, because I want to reserve a little bit of the right to pick and choose what I want to say yay or nay to in accordance with what God's word says. You guys hear me with that? You know, it's called buffet Christianity. You walk up and you say, hey, I like this, 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 and this, but I don't like all that stuff. That green stuff, I don't think so. Just give me meat and banana pudding. That'll be fine for me. That's good. Yeah. Amen. Right, Conrad? Banana pudding's like, bam, that's the good stuff right there. Amen. Yeah. And meat. Lots of meat. But the thing is when I receive with meekness the implanted word, I'm being receptive of all of God's word, the entirety of God's word, even the stuff that I may not really like what it says, because I'm receiving it completely and fully, that it has the ability and the power to transform me, to make me into the image of Christ. So I must receive the implanted word, which is able to save my soul. So what is this thing about an implanted word? Let me refer to that for a minute. You guys with me? I'm breaking this down, because I think that as we receive this, what James is referring to here, it's going to actually do something, give us really some good stuff to live off of in walking by faith. The implanted word is the word that he brought forth into us, that actually became, if you will, ingrained in us, implanted in us. I don't know how to say another word that means implanted other than it just gets instilled within you at the point of conversion to Christ, at the point of being born again. The word becomes implanted in you. Hello? And I believe this is to be true, and I was looking at what John Piper has some really good stuff to say about this, and at that point of conversion, that point of being born again, God's word becomes implanted in you. Because it seems like this is an odd thing to say, that phrase, receive with meekness the implanted word. So that means, if you look at that really closely, he's saying, receive that which is already inside of you. Right? How do you do that? How do you do that? Because it's very true that when you say yes to Jesus and surrender your heart and say yes and become born again as a believer in God, believer that Jesus paid the price for your sins, and I say yes to his salvation, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, and now I believe with my heart that he loves me, he saves me, he's saving me, and he will save me. That's the word becomes implanted in me. Now I must simply continually receive it with meekness, receive it to where it now has the power to do the work that it's already doing inside of me.
That reminds me of what just happened with Jesse. I mean, he was just offered something. It was implanted into his life, into his body. Mm-hmm. Now, will his body receive it? And will it be allowed to do the work it was given?
That's really good, and I'm glad you brought that up, but I'm going to take that to another place that it's a little bit different than what you just said, but it's actually because what he's saying in here is that it's able to save your souls. But see, here's the thing is, a kidney is something that you don't really have to do anything about to get it to work. You don't have to force your kidney to work. I don't have to, I can damage it by putting stuff in me that can damage it, but I don't have to actually, like, lift up my hand to make my kidney work. I don't have to, wink my eye to make my kidney work. You guys understand what I'm saying? It works inside of me because it's there inside of me doing the work it's supposed to do. You guys following with me on this? So there's an implanted word, then what is my part? Because I think there's a little bit of a confusion that, well, we just have to sit back and let God do it and sit there and do nothing. In fact, if you even do something, oh, then you've crossed the line to legalism, and that's not really God doing it because you're doing it. Do you see how there's a confusion? But see, here's where I got to say, and I need to say this, and it's very clear to me in my spirit, is that as I receive with meekness the implanted word, that implanted word then becomes a live word that actually he goes into it. He says, then you become a doer of the word and not just a hearer. And actually, that which is you're doing is you're being obedient to that which is already being done inside of you. It's an interaction with God doing it inside of you, but me being obedient to that which I'm supposed to do. Hello? Whew. I probably confused some of you, but I probably made some of you, hopefully, yes, Tina. I want to get into it deeper. I actually have notes on that very thing, so go ahead.
Amy listening to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
amen.
To God.
Yes.
It was all God. Everything about that was all God.
Yeah.
Not everybody would just give up their, a 34-year-old girl would give up her kidney when she's got three kids at home.
Amen.
I mean, it was just a total act of God.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. God's glory. Yes, and it's a perfect picture of our obedience to what God is doing already, doing inside of us. But we've got to participate, and we've got to participate in being obedient to that which God is doing inside of us. Let me put it in another light really quick. If you're not born again, the implanted word does not exist inside of you. In fact, so much so, it's not about just the Bible, knowing the Bible. Because remember Jesus, when in John chapter 8, when he was basically confronted by the Pharisees, one of the things he said to them, it's 8:37, Jesus said to the leaders who were trying to kill him, "You seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you." You hear what he's saying in that? And the reason he's saying that is because they know the Bible better than you and I ever will. I'm going to tell you this right now. They knew the Bible better than anybody on the planet, those Pharisees. But he said, "My word does not find any place in you because you're not receiving me as who I am." And until you receive Jesus for who he is, Jesus as the true, the implanted word does not exist. Let's take for example, I'm going to call my brother up on the place. I'm going to put him on blast for a second. See, here's what happened. When my brother became saved, he gave his life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit filled him, and the implanted word now existed there. Now, it was up for him to obey that implanted word and actually look into it and receive it and obey it and put it into practice in his life. Now, everything was going well, and his life was blessed, which he says at the end of this passage, until he decided to disobey it and disregard it. But here's what, let me tell you something that happened, and it happened very, very clearly to me. Not to him, but to me, and even more clearly to Robin, which was a good thing because there was times that I was frustrated and confused, and I was glad that she wasn't. Is that the implanted word never left. Never left, never departed. It made him miserable. It tortured his very soul. Because the implanted word did not leave. Because instead of the meekness, there was no more receiving it with meekness. Instead it was, "God, I hate you, God. I hate this thing called Christianity. I don't like it. It's not working out." He tried to fight it with his flesh and everything in him. And as he fought it, it made him more miserable because the implanted word did not leave. It stayed there and tortured him from within. Yeah. No, I win. So it wasn't until he again came back and received with meekness the implanted word that his soul was on the pathway of salvation again. Hallelujah. Did he lose his salvation? No. But he was walking on the pathway of salvation again. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, brothers, sisters. You guys getting it? Did you guys get that? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. What do we do with that, brothers and sisters? Just so quick, I'm gonna spend 30 seconds. What do we do with that? That people in our lives, that you know that there's not a meek receptiveness in their heart to the implanted word that's already there. You pray a lot. And you love like you've never loved before. And you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit that says when you go the extra mile, you go an extra 2 miles. You go exactly how God leads you to go. And you obey the Lord in it. And you pray and pray and pray. Hello? Amen. 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 Woo! I don't know about anybody else. Send me all I want to say. Yeah.
I think it's also important. Your will needs to, what we were talking about in the class today, you've got to make sure that your will is not getting in the way.
Your own will?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I would say align your will with his will, and I think everything's going to work out. I mean, you know, don't surrender and check out your brain. In your heart, in your emotions. I don't think God hasn't called us to check stuff at the door when we surrender our life to Christ. Our desires, our will, our heart, our emotions are all designed and created by God to give God glory and bring Him glory. When we align it, when it gets aligned with Him and we walk by faith, and I believe that even in our will, when He come into the place of saying, yes, not my will, but your will be done, that's I'm willing God's will in my life. So I'm not like saying, I'm not becoming a vegetable. We're not Christian vegetables. Hello? That's kind of weird. I mean, you know, and I look around at you guys and me, and we're odd people, and that's a good thing. I'm really glad that we're all not alike. I mean that. I'm not really jokingly. I really am very glad that we're all different, and we're all not alike, and we're all a little odd. God made us this way. God made us this way. So I want to get to this because this is really, really fun. This is fun. I'm having a blast. I hope you guys are too because it gets super fun right here. The implanted word which is able to save your souls. Because what's that look like? How does that play out? Listen, this is how it plays out. And this is how we are to participate in it. But be doers of the word and not only hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Woo! Woo! Okay, let me do something real quick. I want to do something really fast because I need us to understand this and hear this and understand your process of hearing that passage of Scripture is probably askewed. You guys, forgive me for saying that, but I'm just going to tell you right off the bat that how you've processed that verse is probably a little bit off. You guys okay with that?
Yeah.
If you're not okay with it, that's okay, but let me understand and explain, I think, where I... Because here's the thing, it's because I don't see any children in here. I see all older people. We're all adults. A child will understand this and get this. My little granddaughter, Jordan, she just now is probably surpassing my niece, Riley, in this one little thing that they do. They love to get in front of a mirror when she was little. I don't think, and just... Man, they just would sit in front of a mirror for an hour, 2 hours, and just smile at themselves and just look at themselves and like what they see and just like, wow. And then they look, And that's what Riley used to do. Ooh. I'm serious. I've got her on video doing it, and finally it's like I'm running out of tape because this girl is just like constantly looking at herself and she likes what she sees. Jordan does the same thing. Now, what do you guys look at when you look in the mirror?
Where'd that come from?
Don't look in the
mirror. That's a new one.
Right?
Hey,
right? Right? Now, when you hear that passage of Scripture, the first thing it has... In your mind, you've processed it through a negative connotation, right? Did anybody here process it any other way than that? It's okay. Okay, that's why I said you're probably all close to being wrong about how you process that because you're adults. And when you look in the mirror, what do you look for? Your flaws. The things that are wrong with you. The faults. The stuff that's out of place. You know, the boogers, the warts, the wrinkles, whatever it is you want to see, you're looking for the faults and the flaws. Hello? Okay, is it possible, because it's very true, that I want us to see this and read this in the context of what he's saying here, that that's not what he's saying. He's not saying, look at the Bible so that you can find what's wrong with you and fix it. Hello? Does any place in the Bible does he tell you to do that? He says, he tells us to Look at yourself. This is what I believe he's saying completely and wholly. Look at yourself as the natural, the intended person that God's created you to be, and go and do that and be that. Don't go back to doing your old stupid, stingy, selfish, dirty, nasty self stuff. Hello? Did I need to add a couple more in there? Because how many of you, I said this a couple weeks ago, how many of you struggle with just the simple thing of the very thing, the very first thing that Jesus did on the cross that we say yes to is forgiveness. And we struggle with that very thing right as we walk out this door. I'm not sure if I'm forgiven. I'm such a loser. I'm so bad. I can't do it, you know. And that's what he's talking about. Forgetting the stuff that he says is true about us. You're forgiven in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ, created to do good things, created to do great works, created to do awesome things in the name of Jesus, by the power of God. Wow, yeah. That's what he's talking about there. Let's obey that and be that and do that. Let's not participate with the enemy, not only in our own mind, because remember when Jesus talked about people who have a tendency to point out other people's faults, what they're called? Hypocrites and Pharisees. You who have a log in your own eye, you're trying to help people with the speck in their own eye, that's coming out of their eye. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be about trying to finding faults in people. The Bible isn't there so that we can magnify other people's wrongs and faults. That's not what it's for. If I were to really get that and say, God, this is the word of God, the truth of God, God's word implanted in me. It's already implanted in me. Now I must receive this so that it can be developed and groomed and grow into that which God created me to be. There's nothing that can hinder me, nothing that can falter me. There's no power, even demonic, even of this world, even politically, that can cause me to stray from the implanted word that when I receive it with meekness, I become, and when I obey it and do it, there's so much glory and blessed life living in that. And hope and courage to where I don't think twice about being courageous and bold and sharing faith or doing this or that or whatever it is, you know, giving money to help a cause. I don't think twice about it when God says to do it. Hello? I don't think twice about it. Instead, it becomes the natural thing to do. The very first thing to do is naturally trust God and obey God. When I receive with meekness the implanted word and become a doer and not just a hearer, and then I deceive myself and you walk around, me Christian, me Christian, me Christian. And it's like, really? Where? It needs to be obviously seen and noticed in everything that we do, everything that we say, all that we say and do in the name of Jesus. And your life will be blessed. There's where blessing is. Because that's what he tells us right there. In all that he does, this one will be blessed. When he becomes not just a hearer, but also a doer. One last verse. And I know there's some really good stuff in there. I'm going to move on. And I might come back to this and just have some fun with it again in another week. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. This kind of, he sums it up here. Paul does. Anybody else want to discuss the whole concept of mirror? I like it. I think it's fun to talk about. You guys get where I was saying? Get where I was going with that? Yes, Don? Hey, sister, I appreciate what you're saying, and what she said is, if I could just get that not to fault people, the first person you need to not fault is yourself. And I know that's, I'm not talking about, self-help, all that stuff where it makes you feel good about yourself. Receive the implanted word with meekness and look at yourself clearly and rightly. Then you're able to actually see other people clearly and rightly. When you see yourself as faulty, unforgiven, sinful, hateful, bitter, and you, because maybe that's what you're living in still, it's because then you start seeing other people that way. I know this is, it's an easy tell, if you will. Somebody that sees other people usually is how they see themselves. Ooh, I don't know. I might have to run and hide after that one. Because that was pretty true and pretty brutal. But I mean that in the best way, sister. That, when we look at ourselves that way first, rightly, we'll start. I mean, here's, can I just say, don't lose your thought. Because I want to share something that as I, the thing that happened with the incident with the weed eater. I honestly rode away there a little frustrated at the situation, but here's where I also went, and I believe God wanted me to go there. I went to a place of, okay, God, now what's the next step in that person's life? That person is really messed up. Really messed up. They need you, Jesus. How can I now take it to another step? Because I had a face-to-face confrontation with them, and it wasn't brutal. There wasn't anything that was accusational. There wasn't anything that was mean or vindictive on either person's part. Honestly, there wasn't. To where I felt like the Lord says, I'll give you an opportunity. See, here's what I'm saying with that is because I'm able to, as God's grace fills me with the ability to do it. Not because I'm smart or humble or wise or good, but because God's grace gives this to me, I'm able to see people where they're at. I'm able to see them as hurting and they're needing of Jesus. I'm able to see that only because I'm seeing myself as just as needy of Jesus as them. I am just as needy of Jesus as anybody out there stealing stuff, taking stuff, doing drugs, whatever, killing people. I'm just as needy as them. Hello? And if you're not as needy of Jesus as them, you are, you just don't realize it yet. Because we all are just as needy of Jesus. Hello? Linda, did you want to please share what you're going to say, and then I'll...
When it says that you're trying to push through...
Yes.
When we look in the mirror, it's Christ-like.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I believe this passage in 2 Corinthians 3, he's alluding to. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. This law of liberty, when we look into the law of liberty, pursue it, look into it, pursue it, and stick with it, I believe that this is the result that we get. What is the law of liberty? What is the law of liberty? Real quick. 2 minutes. It's everything wrapped up in Jesus. Everything is wrapped up in Jesus. Jesus is the law of liberty. Jesus fulfilled the law, so everything that the law consists of is fulfilled in Christ and starts and ends in Jesus. Jesus is the true. Jesus is the true, the law of liberty. When we look into looking like Jesus, there's liberty, but we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray and worship the Lord some more this morning. Unless there's another comment.
Good job, Pastor.
Hey, amen. Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. Oh, we give you glory and honor and thanks for your word. Just that the very phrase, the implanted word inside of each and every one of us when we've surrendered and said yes to you, Jesus. Oh, it's so deep and so rich. Pray that that implanted word would, our hearts would be meek, receptive. Come to a place of surrender and saying yes to all that you have called us to be and do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm so grateful, and I'm personally thankful that we are all so unique and so precious in your eyes. That as you see us, Father God, you see your Son Jesus in us. And as we long to look into that mirror and say, that's you, Jesus, I'm seeing back. Lord, teach us, grow us. We say yes. We say yes to you. We say yes to your work, yes to your word, yes to what you're doing in our lives. And in that saying yes, it's not a yes that just stops for right now, but it's a yes that says, yes, keep on doing it. Don't stop. Keep on going. Finish the work. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace.